Welcome to the Smut Hive, where each week we, Jillian and Morgan, review a romance book, drink something yummy, laugh our asses off, and rant about what we loved, what we didn't, and of course, talk about hot, smutty sex. There will be spoilers, so if you want to read it first, close now and come back later.
We would like to note that this is an explicit podcast where we may talk about many taboo topics that include explicit sex scenes, subject matter that could be sensitive to some, and filthy language. Welcome back to the Smut Hive. Hi, guys.
How are you?
I have a new person that's here. She's super nervous, so we're going to do like a Smut Hive welcome for her. This is my sister. This is Camp.
Hey, everybody.
Yay, this is her very first time being on a podcast, so we're going to be gentle. It's going to be fine. There is nothing to be nervous about. Because you are an actual listener of this podcast, because you're my sister and you're required to listen.
I am.
Yeah.
I do.
And books are our thing.
Books have always been our thing.
Always been our thing. So we are going to do a couple of episodes here together. Morgan has stepped away from the podcast for just a little bit. You know how crazy her life is with the girls. So Kim is going to be my new co-host for a while. We're super excited about this because, as I mentioned last week, we picked the Black Dagger Brotherhood series because this is one of the first series that my sis and I got into.
We did.
And this is a huge series, though, and so we're not going to be able to cover all of that, but we are going to get into some of the stuff so that you guys can take a part of that and see how fun the Black Dagger Brotherhood is. But in the meantime, let's get to do a little get-to-know-you section with my sister. So, Kim,
goody.
Tell the world, the podcasting world at large, our Smut Hive peeps, tell them a little something about yourself.
Ooh, let's see. Okay. So I have been with my husband for 26 years.
Yep.
It's been a really long 26 years.
It's long. You know, we're older now, so it's like, oh, yeah, marriage. Yay. No, we're just kidding. We love our husband.
Yes, we do. Okay. Yes, we do. I love him a lot. I have three kids, three daughters.
Yeah.
That in itself is a challenge.
Yes, it is.
They are all adults now.
Yes.
My youngest is graduating college.
Yes.
In May.
Hey, boo. The middle one's getting married.
The middle one's getting married.
She got engaged a couple months ago. I told the fans that.
My oldest one got divorced.
Yeah.
That was a good thing.
It was. It's a great thing for her. She is a fantastic mama.
Yep.
Oh yeah, you're a grandma too.
I am a grandma.
She beat me to it. She beat me to it.
I have a granddaughter.
Yes.
Why would I bring any boys into this life?
I had the boys. I had the boys. You had the girls.
I did. And she is just like my daughter, even though it is her adopted daughter.
Mm-hmm.
They are exactly alike.
They really are. It's like a mini-me situation. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They look like complete opposites, but their personality is the same.
It cracks you up, man.
It does.
They are hilarious. I love it. I love them too.
Karma.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, our mom said that to mm-hmm. us all growing up. Like, I hope that you end up with something just like you. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that really happened. However, we can look upon our children now and just be like, yeah, hi, you're getting everything you deserve.
Yep.
Yeah. You have fur babies.
I
love my fur babies at your house.
Yes, I have two little fur babies, two little wieners.
Mm-hmm.
One's black, one's brown.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar and Lucy.
Yes, they are so cool.
Oscar is the youngest old man ever.
Oh, he is just a grouch. This little boy will climb up on the back of the couch, sit on the cushion so he can stare out the front door. And God forbid you have an Amazon delivery or a leaf blow by your front door. And Oscar is just going at it. He will bark so loud that you think, first of all, this is a large dog and not a 3-inch little thing. He is so tiny.
No, he's 12 pounds.
Okay, I'm so sorry. His whole big 12 pounds. But he feels as though he is a 95-year-old grouchy man yelling at children that go down the street. And Lucy, on the other hand, though, is just, I mean, that is the cuddle bug. Mm-hmm. I have this thing where I have to, like, vacuum and dust and clean when I go to my sister's house. And when I do this, I'm actually holding this baby in one arm the entire time I'm, like, cleaning up stuff or moving stuff around. So it's hilarious.
Yes. She's not a puppy. She's a princess.
She is a princess.
Yeah.
She's so sweet.
She is very sweet.
Let's see. What else about me? Oh, I'm a midwife.
You are?
So I help deliver babies.
Slash vagina doctor.
Slash vagina doctor. She loves to say that.
I do.
I mean, it is what it is.
And books are your thing.
And books are my thing. Books all are my hobby.
All the smutty stuff.
Yes.
We read all the same smutty stuff.
We do.
And it's amazing. I love it. So welcome to the podcast. You guys are going to be able to get to know Kim very well. We're super stoked that you're here. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely.
I love it. Yay.
It's the way I get to talk to you about books.
Yes. And we're going to go back, way back. Way back to where I believe it all started with Black Dagger.
It was pretty close.
It was. Didn't you say you looked it up? It was like 20 years ago, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been about 20 years.
Yeah.
Since I picked up Dark Lover.
It's crazy to think about that. And like there wasn't a Kindle then?
No.
There wasn't. Like we had the paperback books that we had to like go and purchase and
yes, we did.
Read. And we didn't have a Kindle and it's a thing.
I kind of miss that, actually.
You do?
Yes.
Well, I miss our little trips to Barnes & Noble. So we had this thing because, again, kids, like all the time.
All the time.
So we would get that, you know, mama break. And what we would do, and I think we would still do this, what we would do is we'd actually go to Barnes & Noble, get our coffee, mm-hmm. and just spend hours looking at the books.
Yes.
In the bookshelves.
You would get coffee and I would get the cinnamon spice tea.
Yes.
And it would crack me out because I don't do caffeine well.
No.
My girls at work all know this. They make fun of me.
Yes. Yeah, she cracks out on like tea. So yeah, we would actually just spend hours in the section and we would be going through all the books and stuff that would come out. And then eventually when we got Kindles and Nooks and all those things, we would just take pictures of the cover of whatever book that we thought was cool at Barnes & Noble. And then we'd go home and like buy it so that we did it. So we didn't have shelves anymore.
Right.
Once the Kindle and the Nook came out, like we did not have bookshelves anymore. It was no longer an accomplishment to have the bookshelves, but that's a thing that's coming back.
It is.
Yeah. People are obsessed with that on TikTok.
Yes.
Cause
there's just something about the feel of a book.
Yes.
Turning the pages and actually feeling it, having it right there.
The smell.
Yeah.
Of pages. Yeah. All the fun stuff. Well, this book definitely took up more than one shelf on both of our, you know, bookshelf thingies that we had back in the day. The Black Dagger Brotherhood is written by J.R. Ward. If you look her up or look this up in any way, there are currently 27 books in this series. This is a really long series. This is an in-depth world that J.R. Ward has created. I think that it's going to come back around, especially for you guys right now, because Passionflix has bought the rights for Black Dagger Brotherhood. And so I know that they are going to be working on, getting that out as far as like, who's going to be in what role, because you can picture who you want to picture in this universe, but there are many a men to pick from.
Right. Well, I started a list in my head, except I don't think Passionflix can afford them. So there's
not
that.
All of them.
No, I've only gotten to like 3 or 4, but I just don't think that they can afford it.
Who did you pick?
So for Rap, yeah. I would think that Jason Momoa.
Yes, everybody's picks him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Passionflix won't be able to pay him.
No, that. The long hair, he's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I got. So The Rock for Torrent.
Okay.
Because he's a little bit older,
yeah.
A little more mature.
Yeah.
You know, has a wife, a little settled down.
Yeah.
So I could see, you know, The Rock. He's huge, he's big, but he's still kind of laid back, kind of has it together.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I think back in the day, I heard that the fan stuff when they were picking it for, like, Butch was David Boreanaz.
Okay.
Who he was on Angel, mm-hmm. Bones, SEAL Team,
yeah.
Whatever. We've known him because we love Angel and have watched. I mean, we had Angel
right. yes.
dinner nights back
Angel
in the day.
Angel dinner nights, yes. And then there was, I watched Bones mainly.
Yeah.
For him to start with.
Well, yeah, because mm-hmm. why else would we care about corpses?
Right.
Yeah.
You seem to think that my husband looks like him.
I do. I always have. I know it's creepy, but it's true. Yeah, he favors him in a lot of ways. And David Boreanaz, and your husband, still hot. So that's fun. Although in real life, though, David Boreanaz, not your husband, is a creep. So that kind of sucks.
Yeah, my husband, definitely not a creep.
He's not a creep. Guy. Yeah, but remember when we went to Comic-Con? Yes. So in case you guys did not know, my sister and I, we took my niece, her daughter, the oldest one, when she turned 16, that's what she wanted, was to go to San Diego Comic-Con. And if I remember, I think it was like 2011 when we went. We essentially went for like, I know, right? I think it's because I still have some of that swag in my office and it has the date on it.
Yeah.
But we went for Supernatural.
We did.
The panel for Supernatural was like the big one that we went there for.
And you were a huge True Blood fan at the time.
Yes. So we did True Blood. That was really big. Mm-hmm. But they had Bones was supposed to be there. And then they had to cancel that panel because he didn't show up. And then somebody we were standing with in line, I think, was like, oh, you don't know the deal about David Boreanaz? And I'm like, no, spill the tea.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. She was telling us like he was just a creep and a drunk and all these horrible things. So I hope that that's not true. Or if it was a billion years ago. And I hope that you've straightened yourself out. So
He's grown up just like we have.
I hope so. That's my David Boreanaz situation. Super sorry if none of that's true, but
well, it's the rumor.
It was the rumor. okay, so I know that we've thrown some names out there and you guys have no idea what we're talking about unless you've actually read these books. So here we go.
All right.
Black Dagger Brotherhood. This episode is essentially going to be book one, which is Dark Lover. And this is the main character of the book. His name is Wrath. And then the main female character of this book, her name is Beth. This is a vampire book. This is essentially a whole vampire nation set in secret inside our world.
Yep.
So it's not like they came out of the closet like True Blood did. So humans don't know they exist. Now, can we see them? Yes. But we just see big dudes like when we look at them. All these men in these books are like huge. So like she said, Wrath, everybody pictures Jason Momoa. He's like, the description of him is probably a little dated. It's supposed to be like a widow peak hair situation. So
it's long black hair.
Yeah.
Down to at least his shoulders or past his shoulders.
Yeah.
He's like 6'6".
Built. Huge.
Built like a Mack truck.
Yeah. And zero fucking lip. Like he takes zero attitude. Oh, yeah. He wears these like wraparound sunglasses. And so to the world that like sees him at a bar or something, he just looks like a horrifically like large manly man that you don't want to fuck with. Right.
Oh, he's wearing leather.
Oh yeah.
The leather. Black leather.
The black leather. So you're like, okay. So just picture like Dog the Bounty Hunter, except hot and younger and hot, because there's nothing about Dog the Bounty Hunter that's hot.
No, don't picture Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Actually, yeah, don't picture Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Don't picture Dog.
Moving on from Dog the Bounty Hunter. So anyway, picture Jason Momoa, I guess. There you go. Although he's not my cup of tea, but.
But he used to be.
Only in Game of Thrones.
I think he wore leather in Game of Thrones.
I mean, that was just dead animal in Game of Thrones. They were either naked or wearing dead furs. Like, that's the only two outfits in Game of Thrones. But he was only in it for like a minute before he died. His character, Khal Drogo, whatever. Mm-hmm. He was cool and he was hot and I liked him in that. And then I'm like, ooh, who's this Jason guy? And then he's not really been in anything else I gave a shit about.
That's fair.
Yeah. I don't care about Dune. Like, that's a big thing right now. I don't like the desert people thing.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. My husband's obsessed. My kid's obsessed. I don't care about Dune. No. At all.
My husband's not obsessed, and that's probably why I'm not obsessed.
Good. I'm glad, because and then sorry to the Dune people. And then what was it? Aquaman? I hated Aquaman.
Wasn't my favorite.
Mm-hmm. I don't like Aquaman. I love Nicole Kidman playing the Aquaman mama. She was an amazing find, I guess, to that movie. And then his like mean brother, even though he was mean, I like him too. But I didn't care at all for Aquaman. So Jason Momoa just doesn't work out for me. But picture who you want to picture.
Yeah, he's just the first one that came to my mind with the hair and the build
and all the things. Mm-hmm. But he's a vampire, mm-hmm. and his name is Wrath. He's the king of the vampire nation. He doesn't want to be, so he's your reluctant king.
Right.
He is also partially blind.
Yes.
So he's a kick-ass fighter and protector, of the vampire folks, because there is an enemy in this vampire world. They're called the Lessers. And they're just weird. They're creepy and weird. Like, apparently they smell like baby powder.
Right.
They're like pale white.
They're very pale.
Like no hair. What is that? Albino? Is that what
albino.
It's called?
It's white hair.
Yeah.
White powdery skin. Clear eyes.
And they're just evil.
Yes.
Evil and mean.
And I have a guy for him too.
Oh.
An actor for him. But I cannot remember the guy's name.
Okay.
But he's almost always the bad guy. Uh-huh. And he's got blonde hair and these really light blue eyes. He's always the bad guy.
Was he in like The Matrix?
He was in Justified.
He was in Justified.
He was.
I watched every episode of Justified. I wonder why I can't think of him.
Let me see if I can.
Okay, she's going to ponder. In the meantime.
While we're talking, I'm going to look him up.
While she's pondering.
I forgot to look
doing
him up
our before. Half-ass internet research. Okay, so here's your deal with this world. I mean, again, we're pretty much just going to cover book one, but book one has to set up this world that is going to sustain 26 more books. So here's the deal. So Rath is your reluctant king, right? When he was a little kid, he was kind of born. Obviously, his parents were the king and the queen of the vampire world. And this is what they call the old country. And it makes you feel like England, right? It's basically the world before the world was settled. Vampires existed. They're just considered a species in this book. So the king and queen get killed by all the lesser people. And he was a little kid and witnessed it. So that's kind of fucked with him his whole life. Like he feels like, I don't know, he was hiding in a cabinet or something like that and maybe made a squeak and then his dad died and he feels like it's his fault. So he doesn't feel like he's earned the title of king and he doesn't participate in all the kingly shit that his world wants him to because they're all old school. Like they're aristocrats and can you turn your phone off? Like why is it talking to you? This
is no phone. Why is it talking to me?
No phone time during podcasting. No, I'm just kidding. So she did Google that. Neil McDonough was in Justified. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's cool. I do like him. And he plays good guys and bad guys and is always amazing in every character he plays. So yeah, you guys have to look him up. Mm-hmm. Anywho, so this is a very like aristocratic type world, right? So you've got your old school vampire people that are like rich and they're above it all and they don't care for the poor people and the humans suck. But they live in these big mansions, but they need protection from the lessers and they want their king to be kingly. And Rath is like, yep, I'm dressed up in leather. I'm wearing sunglasses. I'm like half fucking prostitutes. And you know, it's a thing. I'm partying. It's a thing. So Rath has his merry band of men. And this is where you understand what the Black Dagger Brotherhood is. So the protectors of the vampire nation. So these are your soldiers, right? And they don't exist in the old school world anymore. We now all live in New York. So we live in this little city, like an hour away from New York City called Caldwell. I don't know if it's a real town or not, but everything happens in Caldwell.
Right.
And they do like live among the humans, but then really kind of not because there's this like spell in the big mansion that is rightfully Rath's that belongs to, you know, the king or whatever. And there's like this mist that's around it. So it directs people away, humans. So like if a human tries to drive up to it, it's something makes them feel, nope, turn the fuck around. There's nothing to see here. And it hides them in the same way. It's very weird. It's mm-hmm. weird, but she describes it very well. Like, you know that these are modern people. They know what modern things are. They know what cars are. They know what, you know, coffee is. They know what all these fucking things are in the world, but yet they still live very old school values in their system. It's very aristocratic. It's very, we're better than everybody else because we're vampires. We're all richy rich and we want to give our money to our next generation. So we need like the vampire lawyer and the vampire doctor.
Yes.
And, you know, so these are all characters that come into play as you go along. But Rath is pretty much like, I'm here to fuck up lessers when you see them, you know, again, to humans. They see the fighting that's going on in the streets of New York, but they don't see. Like, you know, you just walk on by kind of a thing. But so right. You don't realize that you've got these big men, the Black Dagger Brotherhood, fighting these albino-looking men that look like humans. And there, you just look like it's a big kind of gang fight situation. But in actuality, what it really is the Lessers and their organization are trying to take down the vampires. And they've all been fighting each other for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But now we're doing it in the human world, but humans don't really know any of this is existing.
Yes.
So there's that. The vampires in this world, they cannot do the sunlight.
Nope. They still burn to ash.
They do still burn to ash. I don't think there's a garlic thing. No. You don't have to stake them. Like, you can pretty much cut their fucking heads off and they're going to die.
Right.
They eat food.
Yes. And they don't really drink human blood. Like, they can, but it doesn't sustain them.
Right.
They have to drink the blood of the opposite sex vampire.
Yes. Right. So... and then it's like a supercharged situation if it's your quote unquote mate, right?
Yes.
So that's prevalent in this world. You get a mate for life.
Yep.
They die, you die. Like, that's all a thing. Or you think you're supposed to die or something like that. So let's say you have a mated couple, man and a woman. You can now drink, you will only drink each other's blood.
Yep.
Until death do you part. Like, that's all there is to it.
Yep.
Now, when you're young and dumb and fucking around and you don't have no mate yet, you still have to feed off the opposite species.
Yep.
There is, you know, you will have couples throughout this book, because essentially this is what, like, the first 8-9 books are, is every brother in this Black Dagger Brotherhood finding their mate. Okay.
Yep.
That's a setup we're used to. Happens in a lot of books.
Right.
So... you do have many couples in this book. You've got, like, polyamorous couples. You have, like, homosexual couples. Like, it's a thing. So they have to figure out how to feed with having, like, you've got a human. Eventually, I think it's the second book or whatever, you're going to have a human mate. And so he can't live off her blood. So he has to feed from another female vampire. And there actually is this little, like, harem of female vampire women who basically, they don't do anything but feed the men of the Black Dagger Brotherhood. Like, that's what they're born into. It's all very old schoolish. And then, so all the new people are like, ooh, this is weird. We shouldn't do this anymore, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But yet you run into a situation where you have to, like, quote unquote, depend on the female blood giver so that you can survive. And then as a human mate, you just have to deal with it. So that comes along. So you open up with this book and you understand that one of the brothers in this book from way back in the day, his name is Darius. For the most part, Darius is Wrath's best friend.
Yes. How about we talk about this for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this first group of guys.
Yep.
You've got Wrath.
Yep.
You've got Vicious.
Yep.
You've got Fury.
Yep.
You've got Rage.
Yep.
You've got Torment.
Yep.
And Sadist.
Yeah.
And then you have Darius.
Right.
Do you see the problem here?
Yeah. So Darius' name doesn't fit. And I think why is because they blow him up in the first chapter.
That's why. Correct.
He hangs over your head through the whole series because of a weird thingy that happens with him, and he's reincarnated, and it's all a thing.
Mm-hmm.
In book one, though, chapter one, when it gets blowed up by the Lessers, and he die, his name is Darius. Where the rest of them, not so much.
You kind of knew his life was limited.
Yes. Okay, so Darius is meeting with Wrath, and he's in the bar, and he's telling Wrath, so listen, so I might have, like, 20-something years ago, impregnated a human female, and so therefore I have a havesy, and she's raised human. And she is going to go through transition. Like, she's at the age now where if she's going to turn vampire, it's going to happen. And this is kind of fucked up. When they go through transition in this world, it's like you're born a vampire. And I don't know about having to have blood. I don't think you have to have blood at all when you're, like, a kid.
No.
And then you hit a certain age. And where we say we're going through puberty, it's like a weekend to them.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they, like, get muscles and fangs and need blood and get all their powers and whatever magic comes with them and, you know, all the things.
Happens right around 25.
Right. But I also feel like you just get real horny because apparently you gotta feed and fuck your way through it, through transition. And I was like, oh, Okay, so that's chapter one. What's happening? So Darius says, listen, the daughter I never told you about, she's about to hit transition, and I don't know anybody else in the world that I want to help her through transition to feed her and fuck her through this, but you, my bestie. Cool. Rath is like, yeah, no, not doing any of that. Like, I don't care. I'm not doing any of that. And Darius is like, well, that's my wish. And he's like, cool.
Right. And it's because Rath is the only pure blood vampire.
Yes.
And his daughter is only half vampire.
Right.
So her chances of even making it through transition without death
pretty
were like 50-50.
Yeah, didn't know if it was going to work out. And he wants her to work out. So
he loves her.
She doesn't know, though, her dad.
No.
So this is where we get Beth. Okay, Beth is our main chick of the thing. She's like a reporter. Takes no shit. Works with cops. Like, she's fun. I like her. When she starts talking, she's great. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know her dad at all. So she doesn't know he was a vampire, much less that she has a dad. So it's all a mystery to her. Anyway, so after Rath turns Darius down, Darius is like, dude, like, you're breaking my heart here. I'm your best friend. I do all the kingly shit that you should be doing that you won't do. All the things, you owe this to me. And then Rath is like, nope, fuck off. So Darius is like, cool. So he leaves and goes and gets in his car, and his car blows up. And this is some lesser nonsense that happens to blow his shit up.
Right.
So now Rath is like, oh, I guess since you died, I have to do your shit. So cool. I guess I'll have to figure out who this chick is. So now Rath, now you kind of start meeting the other dudes, because Rath has to reach out to them to be like, I guess we have to find, you know, first of all, Darius died, so that sucks.
Right.
But then besides that, like, I guess we have to find his daughter that none of us knew about. And then we have to figure out how to get her through the transition.
Mm-hmm.
So your little side, other brother, so to speak, of the characters, I fucking love these guys. When they get together, the banter they have with each other is all great. And they all have something. Like,
oh yeah, they all have something.
They all have something to them. Like, Fury, for instance, there's Fury and Zadist, who are twin brothers, but yet one is really scarred and like bald head. I mean, first of all, they're all huge. So just picture everybody's over 6 foot. Everybody's wearing leather. Everyone's a fighting machine.
Right.
But they all have different things. So Fury is more like reserved, like special wines, great books. You know, let's read poems. Zadis is like, I'm going to cut it in fucking half. I live on the floor on a pallet and I only eat apples and I barely can feed because I hate to touch people. Some fucked up shit happened to him, yo.
Right. Yep.
Yep. Then you have Rage. Rage has a curse. Rage is like, they describe him as Brad Pitt. So I'm like, cool, I'm down for that. Hotter than Brad Pitt. So, hi. And I'm talking like Fight Club Brad Pitt.
Right.
I'm talking like Ocean's 11 Brad Pitt. I'm like real hot Brad Pitt, okay? So Rage has it going on. But he's got like a curse because he pissed off one of their deities and whatever. And so he's got like this beast. And so he'll turn into this beast if you fuck him up. And he has to like fuck for whatever reason to like keep the beast inside. I don't know. It's a thing. Vicious is just like your straight BDSM dom. He'll fuck everything and anything and like punish you for it. And his book is fantastic. It's so good. It's so good. Yeah. So that's just, and Torment. Torment is like you're the only one that has his shit together. He has like a wife who's currently knocked up.
Yep.
That's a big deal in the world to have vampire babies because a lot of times they don't make it. So that's really sad. So, and their pregnancy apparently like lasts for fucking ever.
Oh yeah.
Like 18 months or something like
something
that.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Their pregnancies go on and on and on. But, so Torment, like, I feel like he's like your voice of reason. He can get through to Rage like Darius could. He can make him feel guilty to do things or whatever. But then
right.
He also keeps the other brothers in line.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he has his shit together. He lives in a home with a wife preparing for their baby. He cares about his traditions and his king and all the things.
Torment, like the dad.
Torment is everybody's dad. So he's great. So you start to meet all the guys. They're all, of course, very sad about Darius, you know, because
yes,
these people live hundreds and hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, yes, you can die as a vampire if you get blown up.
Yes.
So that sucks. But now they're like, okay, the hunt is on. We must now find the possible new vampire chick in our world. So,
yeah
that's going to be the thing now that happens through the book to kind of get you through it. Okay, so before we get into a little bit more about that, though, we do have to take a quick break. So we'll be back in just a minute.
Hey, Smut Hive listeners. Just a quick reminder, don't forget to go onto our TikTok and Instagram page. Like, follow, do all the fun things. We also have a link in our Instagram bio that takes you to Spotify and Apple. Leave us a review.
And we're back. Okay, so we're meeting Beth, okay? So Beth, as the human, is getting sick. She's like, you know, feeling hungry, but yet nauseous. She can't quite understand, like it's a flu, like she's fighting it off. She can't figure out what's happening, you know, all the things. So Raph finds her.
Yes.
In her apartment.
Shows up at night, obviously. Mm-hmm. In front of her apartment.
Yep.
And her cat notices first.
Yeah.
And her cat's like, meow, come in. And for some reason, this cat is now his best friend.
Right.
And all Beth sees is this giant man coming in her door.
And doesn't she think it's like a fever dream?
Yes. Yeah. At first it is.
Yeah. And they have their own, like the vampires in this world have like their own version of weed. Like
yes,
they call it like the red smoke.
Yes.
Or so, okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It becomes a thing. I think it's a little bit more potent than our weed, so pissed about that. But you can literally like smell the quote unquote red smoke and you're like in a haze. And I'm like, oh, that sounds fun. But I think that he's trying to tell her like, hi, I'm here to save you.
Yes, I'm here to protect you.
You're about to go through some shit. You're a vampire. She's like, I am not a vampire.
She wants none of it.
None of it. So I think he's like smoking the smoke and like trying to get her to like calm down. And she's like, well, what do you mean, hot man? Like, what's happening? Yeah. So here's what you get throughout this part of the book, right? I mean, again, you're meeting all the people, but the Brotherhood is coming back together. They're all kind of separated out, but they all still have a job to do. And it's still obvious that the Lessers are fucking about because they blew up the Darius, right? So you've got that. So now there's like a big mansion and they're all moving in and all their different personalities and all their banter and all their back talk, but they're fighting fucking machines and they're all amazing. Okay. You got that. Then you have the whole Beth and Raph thing. Raph is the reluctant king. I don't want to be responsible. I just want to kick ass and fuck chicks. But then he's like, ooh, but you could be my mate. And spoiler, she's the mate. So there's a love story. Does she really want me? Does he want me? Blah, blah, blah. But then you've got Beth like, huh, I guess I'm about to be a vampire. Cool. I bet this hot man is about to fuck me into my vampirism. Okay. But does he really love me? I don't know. And then now I'm going to have dead dad issues because I didn't know who my dad was and he's dead. And apparently he was super rich. And so he gives her all this money and she's like, cool. I like don't have to struggle in my life anymore. And now I've got this new family. All these brothers are here to protect me because I'm about to be queen, you know? So that's what you get. And then the whole lesser stuff. Like,
right.
Sometimes I found myself as these books go on, like, because there's a whole story and hierarchy of the Lessers. And you've got, like, the people and what they have to do. And then you've got somebody that you thought was a friend and it ends up being a foe and all the things. So sometimes, though, with the Lessers, I tuned out a little bit because I'm like, okay, you're boring and you're evil and I don't like you. So I don't care if you have feelings. And that's mean, but it's the way it goes. I think with the vampires, the sex in this book is ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
Ridiculous. The blood exchange stuff, it's not gross.
No.
It's real hot, yo. I don't know if it's because you know they're mates. Like, I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. But you get this, like, scene, right, where Rage is got Beth over.
You mean Raph?
Or Raph, sorry. He has Beth over, and it's like a date. And everyone, all the brothers are trying to tell him, like, woo her. And he's like, I don't know what that means. Like, I don't do that. And they're like, well, then you need to because she's worth it and you're missing out. Like, you're fucking this up. So I like that, too, because although he doesn't want to be king, they all, as the brothers, they respect him as being the king. So they treat him like a king. But at the same time, they're like, you're fucking up, yo. because she's amazing and you're just this grumpy old bastard. So you just need to buck up and figure it out.
Right.
So you do have, I like to call her the vampire princess of the series, but she's not really, Marissa. So Marissa is another like aristocratic. Is that how you say that word?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
She's an aristocrat.
Yes. Comes from a big family, besties with the king kind of a thing.
Yes.
She was promised to him as children, right?
Yes.
And so she respects her vows and wants to be his wife. He only comes around when he needs to feed because, again, she's technically like his wife.
Right. But he doesn't want really anything to do with her other than to feed. They right. don't even have sex.
No.
Never.
Never.
Never once.
She's a virgin.
In, like 300 years.
Yeah. So her character pops up. Now she does go on to her own book. She does go on throughout the series. She's a complete character transformation, I feel.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because when you first meet her, you don't really care about her. You're like, okay, well, I can see it sucks for you. Like you're holding on to this man who obviously has zero interest in you.
Right. You feel sorry for her.
You do. But.
But that's it.
At some point, she takes off her big girl panties and puts on some sexy ones and just yes. says, listen, I am woman, hear me roar. This is what I want. And I'm about to hop on this here man over here that I want. So that happens for her. So you don't feel bad for Marissa for a while.
Right.
But you definitely can tell the difference between what Rath feels for Beth.
Yes.
Versus the kind of hand he was dealt with the promise to Marissa.
Right.
You also see Rath with the help of Beth, like, oh, yeah, spoiler, she survives being a vampire. So he fucks it into her and she survives. So, spoiler. But you see how Beth is starting to understand the world that she is now a part of and that she's like, oh, so you're supposed to be like the king, but why don't you do any king stuff to like help your people? So she starts to open his eyes, I think, to what he could be doing to help like the social problems that are all happening, because not every one of the vampires that are living in this world are rich, or their families might have lost the money.
Right.
There's a lot of crooked bullshit that happens throughout these families. Right. There's some good.
Yep. The civilians.
Yes. Yeah. So you've got like, you know, later on there'll be like a nurse who works at like the only vampire hospital within this thing, which heads up Marissa's brother Havers, happens to be the only like vampire doctor.
Right.
So that's a thing. You have, you know, just your normal people getting by. Their only issue is that they're vampires and that they can't tell the world that they're vampires. So that's what you get there. You do get like some side characters that come in and then stay. I'm going to tell you that Beth is not the only one that you present as human and then turns vampire. That actually happens later on. To right. another individual. It's a little cop friend that we like, we're introduced to in the first book. His name is Butch. He's awesome. And then just the brothers. They're trying to support their king. You're still getting all these flashbacks. There's tons of flashbacks. So these people have all known each other, been together, fighting with each other, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So you get lots of flashbacks. And the thing that I think J.R. Ward does really well is that she does tie everybody in.
Everybody.
Yes. It takes a long time for you to get to it. And like, I know you stopped after like what, 9-10 books?
Something like that.
I think like that. I think yeah. I've made it to maybe 24 out of the 27, maybe 23. I mean, I'm going to pick it back up again because wow, it's come such a long way from like where I've last read compared to where we began. But I think you and I, we talked about this before. I think what we agree on is that it's that first core set of like 8 or 9 books that you can reread and reread and reread. They're just great.
Right.
And still find something new that you didn't pay attention to in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. You also get the idea that it's written in a way that it's like religious overtone in a way, because what you've yeah. got is the Omega. He is the bad guy in charge of all the lessers. Like right. the lessers are his creation, right?
He's like their god.
Right. And the vampires were all made by the scribe virgin. And you're understanding these are God's kids. So God had a son, God had a daughter. The daughter does the good, the son does the bad. It's balance. It's all balance, yes. Right? But as deities go, the Omega is a dick and the scribe virgin is a cunt bubble. Like, it just, it is what it is. Like,
yes.
They don't make the right choices for their peeps. And then you do have their peeps that don't want to be in the way of life that they're in anymore. And that's all a thing. And then, of course, every organization, whether you're a lesser or you're a vampire, you're going to have somebody within your own ranks or with a vampires against other vampires, lessers against other lessers. There's so much that happens in this book. Mm-hmm. So much that happens in this book series.
So much.
Yeah. So I think it's worth it. I mean, again, I think that especially the first like core 8-9 books where each individual gets their own mate, their own love story.
Their own love story.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still kind of combined and they still kind of grow on each other. The books kind of grow with the vampires. But it's that first several that are like those guys you really care about. And mm-hmm. then they bring in the side characters who then just kind of grow. So if you are one of those people that loves the world, you will love this series.
Yes.
Because the world just keeps on going. If you're one of those people that likes to have just a small series where there is an end, this is probably not the book series for you.
Yeah, because I don't know if it's ever going to end.
Right.
Like ever.
Because you can just keep growing because the world keeps growing.
Mm-hmm.
Those main characters, they have children of their own. And they have friends and they have enemies that now then become friends. And those people have sisters and brothers. And it's just a whole world that just keeps going.
Yeah. And the species itself didn't have a king since Wrath's dad died.
Right.
And so now he, all these hundreds of years later, secure with his queen, is back into being a king. And he has no fucking clue what he's doing.
Oh, no.
As far as like the social part of the world, he has friends. Like we mentioned Marissa. Marissa ends up being a big advocate for like mistreated women. I think though, if I remember right, they call their wives Shellens and the husbands were Hellrens. Yeah. And so, I mean, and just like in human world, they have problems. They have like a drunk, abusive husband, and you've got a wife that has nowhere to go and has a kid. And, you know, and so Marissa sets up like funding and help and, you know, all the things. And Wrath didn't even occur to him that his people were struggling.
Right.
So he's going to take some shit along the way for people that are like, hey, where have you been? And then you're going to get a lot of the people that were like, oh, you know, we've always been here for our king and now we can do all of our own traditions. So there's lots of things that you learn in the vampire world that are now coming back to be traditions. There are old traditions that now the brothers along with Wrath are like, nope, fuck that. We're not doing that anymore. That's archaic. We're not continuing that.
Right.
That's great. And again, all this is hidden in the human world. So there are run-ins with humans. Humans have run-ins with lessers. They have run-ins with the vampires. You don't know what you're getting. There's like a really cool club. There's like, you know, they own businesses. I think if I'm getting into it, I really like Zadist. He's going to be our third book, I believe, third or fourth book.
Yes.
I really like the character of Zadist. You understand why he's not like his twin, why he chooses to live the way that he does. And of course, it takes the love of a woman, a very patient woman, to help him. But his story is fucked, yo.
Yes.
Horrible story. And then like Fury having to deal with it. He's a drug addict with the red smoke. And the red smoke has like a red wizard that talks to him. And that's a thing. Vicious, we mentioned, was our BDSM dude. Yeah, his book is fucking amazing. I think he's my favorite out of the core group. I think that he was always been my favorite. Do you remember what yours was when you first read these?
I also think it was him.
Vicious?
I think it was Vicious.
Yeah. He's worth it for sure. Torment has some fucked up things happen to him. You get a new character named John. You get a new character, like you're half humans. Like,
right.
What I think I really do appreciate about the brothers from the Black Dagger Brotherhood is that their camaraderie that they have with each other is really great, even though it's banter. It's like literal brothers living together.
Brothers.
These are grown fucking men who are acting like there's like a potato gun situation. Like, they're just hilarious. Yeah. They drink, they smoke, they listen to loud music, they have cool fucking cars, they like women. But when they have a mate, and that's their entire world. And that's kind of what the deal is with this series. Like, you're mated forever, but
yes,
it's all good stuff. So I liked it.
Unless you're Wrath and Marissa.
Yeah, that one didn't quite work out. But that was like a not my biology is telling me you're my mate. That was my parents made an arrangement before we were born, yes, because I'm a king.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing. So, but it was really great to see a character like Beth. The way she handles being like, I'm this badass bitch on my own, but oops, okay, I have this whole life that I am genetically related to that I knew nothing about, but she took it well. Of course she thinks everyone's a loon at first, but when you can't dispute the proof that she's given, and then she's like, oh, okay. And then falling in love with Wrath.
Yes.
When he is not used to humans at all. But besides that, humans that turned into vampires. And he's definitely not used to actually having communication with women. And she's like, hi, you suck at this. You know, that.
Yes.
Yeah, that was really funny. And then the brothers being like, dude, you're an idiot. Like, you don't say that. You need to woo her. And you're like, I'm picturing this Jason Momoa type man. All the leather and the sunglasses and the badass being like, woo. I must woo. You're like, okay. There's a butler, Fritz. He's throughout the whole thing. First of all, Fritz is the most he's your unsung hero of the entire series. Why he doesn't have his own book pisses me off, because you're like, oh,
he's
just the butler. 90. He needs some love, okay? I'm sorry. I don't care that he's 100 years old plus. He needs a woman. Or man, I don't give a fuck. Like, Fritz needs to get some. Because every time in this book that somebody needs something, it instantly appears because of Fritz.
Yes.
And these dirty motherfuckers living in this big old mansion, especially before all the women, the mates start happening and the women start moving in. This motherfucker cleans and cooks for all these ungrateful fuckers.
And he loves every minute
and
of it.
And he loves it. What they call him, like a dodgin, I think is his term. There's a lot of great vocabulary. There actually is a dictionary in each of these books that G.R. Ward puts in so that you understand what the fuck they are talking about. But picture Dobby from Harry Potter and his sad little life. If he wasn't like, you know, small, if he was actually like a person size. And I don't think he's a vampire. I don't think Fritz is a vampire. But his species or whatever is in servitude to the vampire. And Fritz used to serve the king and queen for hundreds and hundreds of years. So he's delighted every time a new motherfucker moves into this place. Yeah. He's delighted because it's one more person to take care of.
He used to serve Darius.
Yes, but he needs his own book. He needs mass. Literally. Give Fritz mass because he is so punished in life. Like, you're like, oh, Fritz the butler is the best character. But if you read 26 of these books, you're like, oh my God, you're the best.
Right.
Because none of these fuckers do anything except make messes. So there's that.
Maybe he just needs like a Mrs. Potts.
Okay, he can have a Mrs. Potts. As long as he can get down. They still need to get down. Like, because in this, you know, that's what vampires go off. They fuck and they feed. They fuck and they feed. So I get that he's not a vampire, but he's around all the vampire hormones all the time. So Fritz needs to get some. I'm just going to put it out there right now. Fritz needs mass. He's deserving of the ass, the vampire ass. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to come back next week. We're going to give you a little bit more of a rundown on all those characters that we just threw at you. We cannot dedicate 19 more episodes to this series book at a time. So I think you guys should go out to G.R. Ward's website and take a look at the books, the book synopsises, all those type of things. I know that you know somebody who's read this series. If you just say Black Dagger Brotherhood in a room full of book fuckers, there's at least one fucker that's going to be like, I know exactly what you're talking about. It consumed 15 years of my life. I wait every year for a new book to come out.
Right.
Because again, this is all getting ready to start with Passion Flicks. So that's going to be another rant on the next episode, because I've still not amicably made up with Passion Flicks yet for the This Man series fiasco that happened like 2 years ago. But I don't even still currently subscribe to Passion Flicks. So there's that too. Do you subscribe?
No.
Or if you have, it's one of those that you subscribe and then you paid for 3 years and don't realize that you did it because you're good at that.
Probably. Mm-hmm. That is probably true. Mm-hmm. Passion Flicks movies do show up on my Netflix often, or on my Amazon Prime as, you should watch this.
Yes. Well, I bought the Driven series.
Of course you did.
Yeah. I think Afterburn, Aftershock.
Ooh, I loved that
Sylvia
series.
Day.
Yes.
That show was one of the first Passion Flicks movies. I bought that. And then I can't remember what the other one is. Dirty Sexy Saint. Yeah, I bought that one too.
That one pops up on my Amazon Prime. Yeah. So you should watch this.
Yeah. You should. Or you should just log into my Prime because I bought them all. So
I might have already.
You might have already. Yeah. Okay. So, Kim, again, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for chatting today about Black Dagger Brotherhood. We were going to be back next week and have some more thoughts about Black Dagger Brotherhood and the world that we are in. We'll wrap that up and then we're going to have to pick something else.
Yeah.
So I think that you've got a list of books that I haven't read. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I do. And they show up on my Facebook feed all the time and I just add to list.
Yeah.
I have a whole book list in my Amazon.
As one should. Yes. And now you're just going to add that to this here podcast.
Yes, so I will.
I can't wait to figure what that's going to be in the future for us. But in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. So we will see you next week. All right. Bye.
Bye.